Roman Catholic Church had taught the people to place the weight of their souls upon duties, taught them to look upon their works as so much gold paid out for heaven, taught them that their own deeds would be sufficient to begin to weave a coat to clothe them throughout eternity. This is hypocrisy. This is the false Christianity. False Christian is the one who rests upon what he does and never looks so high as to Jesus Christ. As the Pharisee, in Luke 18, he says, I prayed, I fasted, I tithed. What is the first mark of a child of God? Well, the first mark taught in Scripture and by the Reformers is this. We must, by the grace of God, renounce our own righteousness and by grace embrace the righteousness of Christ as our acceptance with God. You say to me, well, that's very obvious. Well, don't be too quick. For sin has so twisted our minds with regard to this question, how shall I get right with God? Sin has so twisted our minds that to that question, men are either indifferent or give the wrong answer. They are either indifferent and respond, is there a God to get right with? And live their life in hedonism, giving no thought of God. Or men respond as the Pharisee of Luke 18, who came to the temple and brought his works to God as the basis of his acceptance, and said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I must be accepted of God. Of course I have the marks of God's children. Of course I'm going to heaven. Don't you understand? I have all of these brownie points, all these things that I have done. And upon these grounds, certainly God shall accept me. I say to you that no matter who you are, be careful. Understand the gospel. Whether you are respectable or in your past very non-respectable, whether you have been reared in a Christian home or in a den of sin, when the searching light of God shines, there must be one confession, and it's this, I'm undone. All my own works are as a filthy rags. There is no righteousness in me. It must be given to me merely of grace. Would you look for the mark as to whether or not you are one of the Lord's? Do you trust completely and exclusively in Christ's righteousness and therefore turn in your heart from all self-sufficiency and righteousness? Do you take your works then as far as being the basis upon which you will assure yourself to be saved? Do you take all of those works and do you forsake trusting in them and place the whole weight of your soul upon the righteousness of Christ? I say not so fast. Do you cling to something you have done? Do you still whisper in your heart that you are at least a little better than someone else? That certainly God notices your sweet attitude in the church or your prayers. This is very difficult, you see, because pride, the cord of pride must be cut repeatedly. What was the Apostle Paul's problem? Well, in Philippians 3, he tells us that of himself, he was the most religious of all men. As far as righteousness, before the days of his conversion, he would say that he had the best of all breeding, Pharisee of the Pharisees, the best of all training, activities, learning. But when he came to see his own sin, and the surpassing excellency of Jesus Christ, he called all of that, as far as being the basis of his salvation, he said, it's all dung, manure. Renounce then, by the grace of God, your works as the ground of your acceptance. Now, how can I state it plainer? One strand, one dependence upon any work that you have done is forbidden. Yes, we are to live a new and holy life, but the mark of the child of God, principally and foundationally, is a trust in Christ alone as the sole ground of my acceptance with the Father. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, the hypocrite is always going to trust in something or someone other than Christ to pacify the wrath of God. the mark of the child of God, exclusive trust in Christ's righteousness. But there's another mark that was emphasized from Scripture in the days of the Reformation, and that mark was this, a sincere repentance of sin. The word repentance in the Scriptures is a word that means change of mind, and it's rooted in a knowledge and a love of Jesus Christ in the heart, which now makes every sin exceedingly loathsome and something from which I want to be delivered. The Scriptures say that all who come into the kingdom are given this mark of repentance, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show to us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son, Jesus Christ. Acts 5:31, him that is Christ hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts 11:18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God given unto the Gentiles repentance to life. The mark of a child of God is repentance. The Westminster Confession of Faith in the Shorter Catechism gives a very concise biblical definition of repentance. We read, repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby the sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, does with grief and hatred of sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. Very briefly, let me describe to you the biblical truth of repentance using the picture of a tree. A tree, of course, must have roots. The roots of repentance are twofold. There must be a conviction of sin. I did not say a sense or even an awareness or an admission of sin. I didn't say that. I said conviction by the Holy Spirit. For all men know they are sinners. Romans 1:32 tells us that they know the judgments of God against those who commit such things, and yet they go on and they do them and find pleasure in them. You can get somebody to admit many things that he's done wrong, but repentance is rooted first in that Spirit-worked conviction of sin, so that now life is seen not on the horizontal, but it's seen in the vertical over against God. And this knowledge that I have sinned against God, and the light of God giving to me to know the inward thoughts of my heart as corrupt in sin. And that my sin is not simply those things that I have done, but it's what I am. I am a sinful man. And secondly, the root of repentance is not only a conviction of sin, but it's a laying hold of Christ. For repentance is not simply a resolution rooted in my own will that I gotta do a little better and stop certain things in my life, but it's a look unto Christ in faith. And then out of those two roots comes the main trunk of repentance, of the tree of repentance, and that's a change of mind or a conversion, a daily conversion. A conversion in my thoughts about God, no longer as someone to dread or no longer as someone to have enmity toward, but to love him, is a change in my mind toward sin, not as pleasurable but as loathsome in the light of God's love for me. It's a change in an understanding of myself that I no longer live, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5, unto ourselves, but unto him who died and rose again. And then finally, repentance as that tree will bring forth fruit. For repentance is not a barren tree, but it will bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Sorrow before God. You may read of these fruits more explicitly in 2 Corinthians 7, the verses 10 through 11, where the apostle speaks of the marks and fruits of a thorough repentance before God. is this mark in you? Faith in Jesus Christ, true faith, is not dry-eyed. Have you from the heart forsaken sin as the willful practice of your life? I did not ask, have you broken the practice of every sin, but have you found a change worked in your heart by God's Word and Spirit toward all sin, toward sin that you no longer love, but now despise it? The hypocrite is never divorced from the love of sin. He keeps back some sin. He makes a cage for that sin to take it out and play with and then safely to put back in, he thinks. The Lord's words were emphatic. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off. What was he saying? He was saying, in my kingdom, the citizens do not sign peace treaties with any known sin. We deal then with sin ruthlessly. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan does not care if you yield to God in many things, provided you will be true to Him in one thing. For He knows that one sin willingly lived in, one sin willingly loved and nurtured, will hold you fast enough. What is dear to your heart? That envious spirit that you have nursed as a little girl, that terrible lying tongue, that tongue of sarcasm, that evil eye of suspicion that puts the worst construction upon the deeds of others, that deep-seated spirit of unforgiveness, that evil pride that makes you worship your face, cut it off. The marks of God's children is for sure true repentance before God. There's a third that was emphasized by the Reformation and in Scripture, an exclusive trust in Christ for righteousness, a sincere, Spirit-worked, thorough repentance. And then thirdly, the humble submission to the will of God. For the Scriptures declare in Hebrews 11, verses 6 and 7, or rather Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Every child of God who comes at last into the eternal fold and house of God bears the necessary marks of chastening. Another way of referring to chastening is learning from the heart, submission to the will of God. When at last God's children are all home and stand before His throne and you look over the vast multitude, all will bear that mark. All will give evidence of having been molded patiently, persistently by God to submit to His will. That speaks very loudly to us tonight as we grieve in the death of a dear brother, husband, and father. The marks of God's children are not that we do not weep and our heart feels as if it will be crushed. But the marks of God's children is that they will find deep down, even in this, to say, have thine own way, Lord. It is good. Whatsoever the Lord doeth is good. You see, every child of God must receive this mark. And therefore we are all tried. Acts 14:22 tells us that it's only through much tribulation that we shall enter into the kingdom of God. And under this tribulation, the mark of the hypocrite is exactly that he will not submit. He will lash out against God. He will say, I don't want that type of Christian faith then that declares the sovereignty of God. Or he will not hold out under the discouragements that must come in the way of following Jesus Christ. In the words of Job chapter 27, concerning the hypocrite, Job asks the question, will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he in every time call upon God? And the answer is no. For if the hypocrite knocks and pleads to God, and God does not answer immediately or according to his fancy, then the hypocrite will be out of patience. If the cost is too high, he will go away. If the trial is too much, he will curse his God. For the mark of God's children is submission. Peaceful, blessed submission to the sovereign will of a heavenly Father in Christ. And therefore we know as children of God that the way of the kingdom is that way that is uphill and a muddy path. Yet for the joy that is set before us, we go on that path and we are ready to endure for the Lord's sake all these trials, and we understand that it is always the hand of God that comes upon us in order to mold, in order to chasten, in order to scourge from us our sins. What is the mark? A mark of God's children according to the Reformation and the Reformers and all the people of the Reformation learned this mark through God's own sovereignty was that they would forsake their own will as the guiding principle of their life and submit to the will of the Almighty God as alone good. In the words of David, let him do unto me as seemeth good to him. Or in the words of Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The child of God then calls upon God in our trial. We do not bellow or scream or mourn out of our own pride or self-pity, but we come before God and we say, Lord, from bitterness give me reception to thy will. From complaining give me praise. Make me bright and hopeful and not toxic in my words. The marks of God's children: exclusive trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, sincere repentance, submission to the sovereign will of the Almighty God. Nothing profound or in the sense of being new, I trust. And yet these are the simple, irreducible marks of a child of God, as proclaimed in Scripture and again heard in the Reformation. Where will you find these marks? How shall these be worked in you? Well, Christ, in the Reformation, restored the church in the preaching of the Holy Scriptures. And through the preaching of the Holy Scriptures in the church, these marks are again placed upon God's children. If you covet these marks, then you will covet a true ministry and true church of Jesus Christ. Are you then for real? You can't take that question for granted. You can't be indifferent on that question or ignorant. There are three marks, at least, of a child of God: trust in Christ for righteousness, repentance unto life, and submission to the almighty will of God. Are these in you? I know they are in us so weak, but are they in you? Then you are God's child. God is your Father, Christ is your brother, heaven is your home, all things are for your sakes. And then with these marks, others will see you, and they will learn what God is like, and God will be glorified in his children. I thank you.